Aftershocks by Andrew James. Chapter 9. Through the Woods. There was shouting all around him, and the feel and the taste of grass. He didn't know how he could be so aware of grass. The texture of the Florida crabgrass was tough, a lot tougher than the northern variety that made you feel as though you wanted to take your shoes off and let your toes make little fists in it. This grass was tough and coarse, and most of all unforgiving. It smelled the same, though. Of that, you could be sure. It smelled and tasted exactly the same, and it was all over his face now. The shouting was distinct. There was laughing coming from all around him. Somewhere above him, boys were shouting and laughing. He struggled to raise his head, but another hand pushed it down again, back down, and once more he was aware of the grass. He was aware of the laughing. Was there a point to struggle anymore? Would they hurt him more, again, differently? Embarrassment fed his anger, fueled it, stroked the fire of self-loathing, but more than anything, he wanted to cry. He choked it back and fought once more, pulling at his arms, trying to get them out from under the boy, who sat upon him with his knees on either side, brutally pinning those arms at the crucial point where his weight shut down all motility and blood flow. The inevitable pain had turned to numbness, and tugging with his arms had little effect. He focused instead on his legs. If he could kick his legs hard enough, he could topple this cruel little emperor boy who sat astride him like a throne. Then he could get free and get to help. The flailing of his legs had as much effect as had his attempt to remove his arms. Nothing could be done of the heavier, bigger boy who sat astride him. The grunts and thrusts had an immediate effect on the boys, however, all who stood around him. Their laughter grew even more caustic and raucous. It was acidic. And his captor, the boy atop him, laughed loudest. "You're not getting up, pussy." He spat out the words. At that age, angry threats were almost an attempt at art, like a novice painter attempting to canvas and dashing the paint across it, seeing which colors would be mixed and best blended until perfected. His words must have sounded beautiful to his ears because they were repeated. "Pussy" was the loudest word, though. And each time it was delivered, it grew in size and volume and color. It drew more laughter from the boys around, and soon the word was accompanied by its own echo, and a back and forth volley of the word began. Then warmth on his face. Blood? No, spit. They were spitting on him. He could feel it and see their lips making the patooey face. Each time he shook his face away, back and forth in disgust, a futile attempt to dodge the spit, but he could still feel it dripping across his face. It was dripping down his cheeks and into his ear. "Pussy," he thought. "They're right. I can't even fight them. I am a pussy. I'm a coward. I can't fight them." Over and over in his head, the same thought grew and shrunk as he tasted its meaning. He could not fight them. He couldn't even try to fight them. His frantic thrashing grew desperate as he heaved his body one last attempt to dislodge this would-be captor. And then, suddenly, as if lifted off him, the boy was gone. Tired of his game, maybe, or tired of the advantageous position he held, the weight was no longer there. Free! Feeling rushed back into his arms, and he quickly gathered his legs beneath him, bunched and ready to run. He was running. His run was not one of terror or desperation. His run was nonchalant. As though this had all been a game all along, as though he had not just suffered an eternity beneath their words and threats and mistreatment, he tried to run without running. Fear drove him forward, but his pride slowed his legs. The tiny voice of pride in his head spoke out just enough to tell him, "Slow down. Don't let them know you're still afraid." So he ran as though nothing had hurt him. He was not giving in to their game. Were they following? He dared a quick look over his shoulder and saw them swiftly giving chase. In that brief glance, he saw and would remember to the future days of his life, when remembering became a pain at once so intensely forgotten and yet seemed so impossibly frozen in detail, the looks on their faces, the clothes they wore so perfectly, their hair that remained in place as they ran. The image was burned into his memory, scorched there indelibly for all time in perfect, exquisite detail. They were beautiful in their uniformity. Perfect, sculptured copies of one another, designed flawlessly for the very purpose of the game they now played. The game was not over, and so his legs sped up beneath him as he felt the dull ache where the boy's body had mounted his own, forcing him to gasp air into his lungs, their shouts muffled and dulled as blood rushed to his head and his heart became all he could hear. He ran. The voice of pride silenced by the scream of terror again, he ran. The bright glare of the Florida sun and the humidity made the world around him glaze with a slight dampness, a moisture that caused a gloss to the landscape, and coated the leaves of plants with a sheen that caught the light so beautifully, he ran. The schoolyard was under construction and had been ever since he had moved here some weeks earlier. The large temporary building behind the original main building, holding the young preschool classes, were a shit color brown and sat on cinder stilts inches above the quagmire muck like women trying to keep the hem of their dress from draping into the sloppy brown water. He ran. Teachers leaving school and walking to their cars moved in slow motion past, their eyes cast on the ground, worn out from the day, jaded from their failed efforts, their sleeves rolled up in supplication and surrendered to the heat and possibly to their dreams. He ran. He quickly escaped the schoolyard and managed across the street to where he now lived. Maybe he could get help. Maybe someone would stop and see this poor, beaten, and bruised boy and take pity on him. He hated that hope as much as he longed for it. He wanted to turn and confront them. He wanted to be strong and powerful and show them he wasn't scared. He wanted to be like them, to join them and be one of them. Together they would roam the wastes of the schoolyard, conquer the lands around them, and he could breathe fire. He ran on further into the neighborhood. The boy is no longer giving chase as he ran through the second set of gates marking the main members only entrance into his subdivision. Maybe they knew better than to come into his neighborhood. Maybe they were bored of the game. Maybe it didn't matter. He rounded the bend onto the main street, running through the long edge of the neighborhood. A long canal ran parallel to the road with more shit-colored water and thick brush surrounding it. On either side were large white homes with stucco exteriors and slanted orange-brown wavy tiles. The street stretched endlessly down along the canal, and from there he could see the homes give way to open woods. The Florida woods were deep and dark and could be easy hiding place for a young boy. If he could make it to the end of the street, he could run through the woods and hide. None would follow him there. How many endless hours had he spent alone wandering those woods in some furtive game of vanquish and challenge when he and his family had first arrived? How many more would he spend there? There he ruled. In those woods he had committed to conquest upon conquest, forcing back any who sought to threaten him. In there he would be safe. His legs once again increased their pace, fighting against the ache and sting where fresh cuts covered old and new bruises were appearing over the dull yellow and brown of previous ones. At the end of the street where the houses stopped, he cut right and dug through the woods, moving past old empty beer bottles and strewn trash at the fringe. He dove deeper, finding solace in the empty dark he was so familiar with. Directly across this patch of woods was his home. He stopped once he had gone some ways in and assessed the situation. His arms were aching, and the throb where the boy's knees had pinned him down was constant. He examined each arm cautiously, pressing gently into the reddened flesh on the inside and realizing the marks left would bruise, but he would make do. His legs were another story. Blood dripped slowly down from his knees and pooled at his white socks, leaving the hem with a tie-dyed look that would never wash completely off. It was a reminder of what had happened today. He looked up at the woods and knew that forward was home. Instead, he veered left and set off at an angle, walking away from the street he had just run down, but further away from his home where he knew what waited for him. Instead, he cut a course for the back of the neighborhood where the new homes were going up. The neighborhood was being enhanced, and the front half of the community was full of homes constructed in the last few years, but further back where the new homes, where the community expanded, this was where he made his way, towards a home on the back side of the neighborhood. After half a mile, he emerged back into the sunlight and onto a relatively open and empty road. Unlike the front of the neighborhood, shrouded in woods and old palm trees sitting with small cropped circles of native Florida plants. Here the trees were small and juvenile. The road was freshly paved, and the entire area had an institutional look. It looked as though it had been freshly vacuumed and thoroughly cleaned and until it had lost all personality and character. There was an assortment of homes around him, all the exact same dull white color with randomly placed plants that he didn't know the names of decorating their exteriors. Some of the homes were still vacant, others under construction. All were exactly the same. Each a little homogeneous copy of the other. He walked towards a home sitting at the end of the cul-de-sac of this road. The house still had the for sale sign up, but a long, thin sign hanging beneath it said sold in large purple letters. He walked past the sign and up the driveway to the path leading to the door. The large green door with perfectly organized landscaping around the edges, the door was vast and seemed somehow disconnected from the idea of the house it led to. In his mind, it was as though this door led into another world, and though it stood silently, devoid of a frame or surrounding, it was a lone door into another place. His small hands trembled, reached forward, and he found himself knocking, even before he was aware of the decision. His breath raspy as he fought down the tears that were welling up once again, threatening to overpower him. He knocked, and the door swung open. Let's stop there for a moment. I was panting heavily, my eyes blinking as if I had just emerged from a cave into a brilliant summer day. I looked down and found my hands were balled up, fists so tight they were white and cramped. You're here now. Look around. Feel the room around you. Feel the cool fan. Breathe slowly in and out. You're here now. I couldn't, though. I couldn't feel anything in the room. My eyes were wide open, unblinking, but I couldn't register the room around myself, even though I saw it all. My eyes had become somehow useless. Instead, my mind saw and remembered one thing, that big green door, the door that stood as a hole in an empty space leading to a void. Are you here, Andrew? Are you with me? A whisper was all that I could manage, a whisper of, no. I wasn't there. Oh, God, I wasn't there. I was standing there before the door. I could feel the cold green door under my knuckles. I knew what was on the other side, and all I could do was stand there and stare at that door. Are you still in front of the house? The voice asked again. Yes, I whispered. I couldn't make my voice any louder. I had suffered at times in the past from sleep paralysis. It was a horrible feeling, awake and yet not awake. Your body a slave to your dream. You just lay there for what felt like an eternity, but was probably only a minute or so. You lay there trying to force yourself to wake up, but knowing you were awake, only your body didn't know. Instead, you were stuck somewhere in between. That's how this felt right now. I couldn't move. I was stuck in between. Do you know what happens when that door opens? He asked. Yeah. He's there. He's there waiting on the other side of it. Come back, Andrew. You're not there now. Remember, you're here now. We're together here. Remember.